You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back, Buffalo Bills fans. It's Matt Warren, editor-in-chief at BuffaloRumblings.com and host of Buffalo Rumblings Q&A. The Buffalo Bills are 1-0 after their Week 1 win over the New York Jets, and they sit atop the AFC East alongside the New England Patriots, who defeated the Miami Dolphins this week. Miami is where the Buffalo Bills are headed in Week 2 to try and get to 2-0 on the year. As always, we're taking your questions. 716-508-0405 is our voicemail line. That's open 24 hours a day. You can tweet us at RumblingsQ&A. That's with the word and spelled out in the middle. Email is BuffaloRumblings@SBNation.com. You can also send us Instagram and Facebook messages using the Buffalo Rumblings account. Tons of ways to get in touch with the show. You can leave questions in the show notes article over at BuffaloRumblings.com. Please share your questions for next week's episode as we continue moving into the 2020 NFL season. Let's get to my takeaways from the game. First, I really liked what the Bills did on offense, especially in the first half. They were pretty much unstoppable by the New York Jets, and most of it was on the arms and legs of Josh Allen. He counted for 220 of the 223 yards in the first half. The Bills built a 21-0 lead that should have been even more. I mean, ultimately, he topped 300 yards passing for the first time in his career. They scored 27 points with four additional trips inside the 30. They just seemed like they were moving the ball at will. So I really liked what I saw. There was the screen game was there, which we haven't seen in a few years. They obviously really worked on it over the offseason. We saw, you know, intermediate passes to John Brown. We saw designed runs to Josh Allen, sure, but also him getting the ball out to Diggs on third and eight. He gets 10 yards, or John Brown on a comeback after Josh Allen scrambles. I just thought it worked really, really well. So I really liked what the offense brought to the table, especially in the first half. Also, Buffalo's defense played super well. I mean, they moved Sam Darnold off of his spot over and over again, really confusing him and just harassing him all game. And it showed on the scoreboard. They couldn't do anything other than that 69-yard catch and run where Tremaine Edmonds got hurt. They really didn't allow a ton from the Jets until garbage time. And so those are my two positive takeaways, but I did have four concerns that I shared, and maybe that's a little bit lopsided for such a convincing win, but I just think the Jets aren't a very good team, and if the Bills play that way against better teams, they're going to have a hard time winning if they don't put 60 minutes together. So Josh Allen's fumbleitis continues. He had 8 fumbles in his rookie year, 14 fumbles last year, and now 2 fumbles against the Jets, and that stuff just can't happen. He needs to secure the ball better when he's running, especially. When he gets hit in the pocket, that's one thing, and that was pretty good, actually, on Sunday. But if he's running the ball, he needs to treat the ball like he's a runner. Put 2 hands on it, tuck it close to his body so other guys can't get to it. That can't continue. Again, you can't leave points on the field against good teams in the NFL. Imagine that game against the Kansas City Chiefs, and now you understand what I'm saying. The Chiefs are going to put up 30 points. Even against the Bills, they have that potential. So the Bills are going to have to score, and Josh Allen fumbling inside the 30 twice isn't a good way for that to happen. Tyler Bass did not have a great game. But if you look around the NFL, and I mean, I wrote these takeaways right after the game on Sunday. So if you look around the NFL, kickers all over the place were having a terrible go of it in week one. Steven Gostkowski with the Tennessee Titans was having problems. I mean, just you look around the league, and I think it might just be something to do with the lack of preseason games, maybe. But there's a lot of kickers that were struggling this week, including Tyler Bass. The Bills have some linebacker depth issues after Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds both went out with injury. Now, I'll update it with what Sean McDermott said on Monday, which both of those guys are considered day-to-day, and hopefully one or both of them will be back for Sunday. But the Bills lost four of their top linebackers on Sunday, with Delshon Phillips and Terrell Dotson both going out of the game as well. So they finished with A.J. Klein and Tyler Medikevich, and just that's pretty much all that they had left in the tank. They do have Andre Smith on the practice squad that they could promote, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later in the episode. The running game, not very good. Outside Josh Allen, they just Zach Moss and Devin Singletary just could not get it going. But I think that is more of a byproduct of a really stout New York Jets front four, as opposed to a failing of either of those two guys or even the offensive line. That front four for the Jets was number two in yards per attempt allowed last year, and rushing yards allowed. And that's with the Jets playing from behind a lot and teams trying to salt the game away against them. They still were a super stout run defense. So I'm not going to worry about the run defense or the run offense just yet. But it was concerning that they couldn't really get a whole lot going on the ground. Those were my six takeaways from the week one win. I was very pleased with how especially the first half went. I mean, it was just a dominating performance in the first half. You'd like to see them kind of put the foot on the throat, but the game never felt in doubt. The Bills, even though they struggled in the third quarter again, which is seems to be a problem with them going back multiple seasons now, that they just come out of halftime and just takes them like 10 minutes to get back into the game. Other than that, it was a really dominating win for the Buffalo Bills. A smothering defense, a super effective offense, especially in the first half. And it was nice to not be stressed out the entire game. Even when the Bills were struggling and the Jets had that long catch and run touchdown, I didn't get a sense that the Jets were going to make a comeback. Tyler Bass, I wasn't worried about the missed kicks or anything like that. Now, if Josh Allen comes out and throws another interception or there's another turnover, that would have started to get me on the path toward being worried. I never got there at all on Sunday. And I'd be surprised if most of you did. So let's get to your questions now. We will stick with that linebacker depth issue. And Save Dave on Twitter asks us, how long until Lorenzo Alexander is in the building? Seriously, with testing and everything, what's the soonest? If the Bills decided to bring in Lorenzo Alexander, they probably would have waited until after the medical checks on Monday for Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds. And like I said, Sean McDermott said those injuries were both day-to-day. So if they wanted to bring in Lorenzo, they could theoretically have brought him in Monday because he lives locally. Bring him in Monday for a COVID test. Tuesday, he has to take another COVID test, and then they could sign him on Wednesday when the results came back from that. It's much more likely that they're going to plan on a larger role for Andre Smith this week, but the Bills do have an open roster spot right now with Josh Norman on injured reserve from last week. They didn't sign anybody to the active roster. Instead, they promoted two practice squad players under the COVID-19 rules. So the Bills are doing some cool roster stuff. I really appreciate it. So Lorenzo Alexander could theoretically be in the building by the end of the day, by the beginning of the day, Wednesday, for a full week of practice if they decided to go in that direction. I think it's a little bit early to pull the trigger on Lorenzo. They need a coverage linebacker with Edmonds and Milano both out, and Alexander is not that kind of player. He's very effective and very good at a lot of things. I just don't see him in that role as a coverage linebacker. And they probably don't want AJ Klein there either. So that's why I keep coming back to Andre Smith. Not that he's some sort of great coverage linebacker, but I think he's a little bit more fluid in that area of the game. So thanks for your question over on Twitter at RumblingsQ&A. And that comes from Save Dave. Tony Hernandez also asked us the same question over on Facebook about Lorenzo Alexander returning to the team, but he followed it up with, is there a chance for Medikevich to get some snaps? I doubt it. I don't think the Bills are looking at getting Tyler Matakevich any snaps. He's a liability on defense. He's there for his special teams only, in my opinion. And so, I mean, in an emergency situation or with the game well in hand, you might see him get some snaps. Like they had Saran Neal go out and replace Tre'Davious White in the fourth quarter with the game in hand against the New York Jets. You might see that with like Tyler Matakevich coming in and taking some snaps on defense if the game is in hand against the Miami Dolphins. But I don't think it's going to be the plan to have Matakevich get defensive snaps against the Miami Dolphins. So thanks for that follow-up question, Tony, over on Facebook. We'll be right back after a quick break to talk about the other side of the ball and go forward into the game against the Miami Dolphins. All right, welcome back. We're in full season mode over at BuffaloRumblings.com. Make sure you are checking out our website every day. We've got plenty of information, both recapping the game against the New York Jets, previewing the Miami Dolphins. The podcast network's been all over it. We have podcasts dropping almost every day of the week now, so you should check it all out. Over to a Facebook where James asks us, my biggest question is, where was the running game this week? So I touched on this a little bit earlier in my five takeaways, but let's really dive into the numbers here. Devin Singletary had 9 carries for 30 yards. Zach Moss had 9 carries for 11 yards. And then Josh Allen had 14 carries for 57 yards to lead the team in both categories. So let's take Allen out for a second and talk about just Singletary and Moss. Singletary averaged just over 3 yards per carry, going up against, like I said, that stout Jets front four. It never really felt like he was going to break one. He had one that the Bills blocked really well, and he was slippery, got 12 yards on. But that was the enigma. So if he had 12 yards on that, that's almost half of his entire rushing total for the game. Moss, on the other hand, 9 carries for 11 yards. Yeah, they gave him the ball on the goal line a few times, so it's not like he had a lot of room to work with, but that just reminds me of the Frank Gore situation last year. Now, Moss did find the end zone on a pass from Josh Allen to score his first NFL touchdown in his NFL debut, so that was nice to see. But Moss had a long run of 7, and Singletary had a long run of 12. And then they both saw significant targets in the passing game as well. Singletary was targeted 7 times, and Moss was targeted 4 times in the passing game. Singletary's numbers are actually really close to what the Jets allowed in 2019. They were allowed 3.3 yards per attempt. And so it just, I get why the Bills were struggling. And I also understand why the Bills used so much read option with Josh Allen. And it just, it makes sense that you wouldn't want to run into the teeth of that four-man front from the New York Jets. It's led up front by Quinnen Williams, a former top 5 pick at nose tackle. Then you've got Steve McClendon, who's had a solid NFL career at the other nose tackle spot. Henry Anderson's another really solid defensive lineman for the New York Jets. Not to mention the outside linebackers that are brought down to the line in Greg Williams' scheming, blitzing defense. So we talked about that there was going to be some problems in the secondary with the Jets, their cornerbacks and safeties. And so the Bills took advantage of that. They didn't really need to run the ball. And I actually think that worked out really well because, I mean, we like to talk about Josh Allen not getting to that 300-yard mark passing, but this was the game to do it. It was in a win. It was a game that they had to keep scoring points, and it was a game that the running game just wasn't clicking. So after that fumble at the end of the first half, the Bills didn't run Josh Allen until his kneel downs at the end of the game, and instead went quick passes and, you know, a few runs to Singletary and Moss sprinkled in there to try and salt away the game. So I actually think it worked out really well, and it shows the trust level that they have in Josh Allen, and Allen rose to the occasion. So as much as the run game was concerning, I think it showed a few other things that, you know, they can do the timing passing game with Josh Allen, that they can move the ball on the arm of Josh Allen, and that even if the running game isn't clicking on all cylinders, that they can still win the game and, you know, salt away clock at the end of the game. So I lay it more on the feet of, you know, the front seven, front six, front four, five guys in the New York Jets defensive rotation, as opposed to the Bills just not having a great run game. If we say the same thing a week from now after the Miami Dolphins, or, you know, in a couple weeks, then it'll be cause for concern. But right now, I just don't think it's something to be super worried about. So thanks for your question over on Facebook. Sticking at the running back position, we had a fantasy football question in from YNasty2318. I'm assuming the Bills will run more against the Dolphins, considering the Dolphins gave up 217 yards on the ground. That being said, is Zach Moss a good fantasy option this week, or start someone else? I've been saying this pretty much all offseason, that I don't think Zach Moss is a great fantasy option, and it has nothing to do with Zach Moss in particular. I think it has everything to do with what the Bills do inside the red zone, and especially inside the five-yard line. You saw Josh Allen run the ball in on the goal line Sunday against the New York Jets, and that's a play that they love to run. They love to run, you know, a spread option with Allen taking a shotgun snap and potentially running it in. In this case, in week one, it was a bootleg out to the left side, and nobody was there, so he just ran it to the pylon and ran it in. Whether it's the QB sneak or other designed runs, the Bills love running Josh Allen and getting a hat on a hat inside the five-yard line. So when you have that extra guy, that's essentially what you're doing. If you put the ball in the quarterback's hands, you've got 10 blockers, and if he makes one guy miss, or they don't even have to miss, they just have to, you know, tackle him and not drive him backward. So it's really beneficial for the team to have a quarterback that can do it. I mean, we've seen Tom Brady do it year after year, and he's not exactly a big guy, but they're going to give him the ball inside the one-yard line every single time, and so Moss is going to be limited in his ability to score touchdowns. That you saw them give him the ball inside the five a couple times, and he wasn't able to punch it through against the New York Jets. So I don't think he's going to get the yardage to, you know, require him being even a flex option. And if he's not going to get those short yardage touchdowns, I just don't see how Zach Moss is a viable fantasy football option. That doesn't mean he's not going to get the ball and be effective. I just, if you're talking specifically with fantasy football, I don't think he's a great play. Thanks for your question over on Twitter at RumblingsQ&A. Last up is BMormon2020. How do you rate the performance of the reserve players who filled in for Edmonds, Hyde, etc.? Didn't one of the practice squad guys get a sack? Well, let's start with the replacement options. I thought Terrell Dotson played okay until he was injured himself at linebacker. AJ Klein, I mean, he did better than I thought he was going to do in that coverage role. But the Bills were a nickel pretty much the whole game. Saran Neal even came in at cornerback late in the game for Tre'Davious White, and I thought did fine. Dean Marlowe is a guy that I'm comfortable with coming in for Micah Hyde when he tweaked his ankle in the game. He's a heady player, knows what he's doing, and can really come in and do a nice job, and I think he did. So I didn't really notice a lot of the backups when they were playing, which on defense is a really, really good thing. So, yeah, we'll go with that. Now, let's talk about the practice squad guy that got a sack. Terrell Dotson did get a sack, and he was on the practice squad last year. He made the roster outright this year and was in the game in place of Milano. So he got a sack, but I think the guy that you're talking about is Justin Zimmer, who is the defensive tackle promoted to the active roster from the practice squad due to the COVID-19 rules regarding, you know, roster shifting and everything like that. Zimmer came in and had himself a game. He's a gamer, as Brandon B would like to say. He had four tackles and a tackle for a loss, really coming out of nowhere to play a very solid game. I saw him in the backfield several times against the New York Jets, and the stats bore that out. So he's probably the guy you were talking about. I was really impressed with, you know, just how seamless it was with the defense. Like, you could never really tell who was in. I thought Ed Oliver did a really nice job, which, you know, Ed Oliver doing what Ed Oliver does as a top 10 pick allows guys like Justin Zimmer and Mario Addison to have really nice games, which you see that in the stat sheet. You don't necessarily see a great game from Ed Oliver I think his stat line was one assisted tackle and one QB hit. Okay, so not a great game from him on the stat sheet, but if you watch the film, if you watched him in the game, I mean, he was in the backfield all the time and really given the Jets fits, which allowed Mario Addison and Justin Zimmer and the rest of the Bills' defensive line to really have a nice game. Trent Murphy even getting in there for a sack. So I think we might underestimate what the impact that Ed Oliver has. And, I mean, that guy is ready to explode this season. So make sure you check that out as well. I want to thank everyone for their questions this week. We had some really nice conversation. As we get into the season, I want to hear from you more. Voicemail line 716-508-0405. You can call it 24 hours a day, and it'll go right to voicemail. You don't have to talk to anybody. Send me tweets at rumblingsq&a. That's with the word and spelled out in the middle. You can email us buffalorumblings@sbnation.com. Facebook messages like we had today. Instagram messages work as well. Those are on the regular Buffalo Rumblings account. Please, please, please send in your questions for our future episodes because it makes the show that much better. Rate, subscribe, tell a friend about the podcast. It really helps broaden our reach, which we've been doing a really nice job of since last year. Thanks again, and go Bills.